Peanut Jones and the 12 Portals by Rob Biddulph. Read by Laura Kerman. Prologue. To their great surprise, the door opened. Four pairs of eyes peered into the cool, dark room. Silence. Feeling brave, the older girl pushed against the wafer-thin surface. It crackled as it swung further on its papery hinges. Tentatively, the children crept through. The scent of turpentine mixed with cheap soap hit their nostrils as they jumped down and stood on the dusty floor. Two red lights, a couple of meters from the ground, were glowing at the back of the room. The younger boy with the big hair gulped.
"Who's there?" he said. "I can hear breathing."
Something small with claws scuttled across the floor in front of them.
"Okay, that's it. I've had enough."
He turned to leave, but the girl grabbed his jacket and pulled him back. "Hello?" she said into the darkness, her voice full of hope.
"Is anybody in here with us?"
This time, nothing. Suddenly, dazzling light flooded their vision and all four of them instinctively brought their hands up to their faces. After a few seconds, they stopped rubbing their eyes and lowered their arms. As her sight adjusted, the girl watched the tall figure in front of them turn away, put the torch down, and reach up to his right. He slid open a metal grate and four diagonal brushstrokes of light raced into the room, painting one side of him in bright, iridescent colours. Long, unruly hair shimmering with warm reds, deep oranges and rich golds tumbled down over his shoulders. As he slowly turned to face his visitors, he revealed a long beard. The girl stepped forward and rubbed her eyes again.
Could it be? Underneath all that hair, was it him?
"Hello, Peanut," said the man. She exhaled, and then she smiled.
"Hello, Dad."
Part 1, in which Peanut's eyes are opened. Chapter 1, Earlier That Day. Peanut Jones picked up the last of the marker pens and carefully slid it into the custom-made slot on her new artistic utility belt. It was a perfect fit, just as the paintbrushes, the charcoal block, the brush pen, the ink roller, the pots of black and white ink, the stamps, the can of spray paint, and the small tin of watercolours had been. The belt was fully loaded and ready to go. Well, almost fully loaded. One slot remained empty. This was the second iteration of her bandolier. The first version had been taken from her a few months ago when she and her friends had been imprisoned in the Spire, a huge tower at the centre of Cromer, the illustrated city. But far worse than losing the bandolier had been the loss of her all-important magic pencil. It had been stolen by a small man wearing a white fedora after an incident involving a remote detonator given to Peanut, her friend Rockwell, and her sister Littlebit by a talking alligator and several thousand exploding mechanical fish. Peanut reached over to her desk and picked up the wooden box that was sitting on top of her exercise books. It was full to the brim with small, yellow post-it notes. Each one had been decorated with a picture drawn by her dad. He used to hide one inside her school lunchbox every day to cheer her up as she ate her sandwiches. But that was before he suddenly went missing. She ran her fingers across the two words carved into the lid. Little Tail. It was inside the secret compartment at the bottom of this box that she had first found Conte's pencil number one, the magic pencil. And soon after its discovery, she'd realised that whatever it drew became real. That, in turn, had started a chain of events that led to her drawing a door, opening it, and stepping through into Cromer, the illustrated city. The driving beat of the drums, guitars and keyboards coming from her radio faded as the DJ's voice kicked back in.
"The Beatles there with Get Back, one of their very best. And now at 5 o'clock, it's time for the top of the hour news headlines read to you today by Benedict Hughes."
Peanut opened.